السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الحمد لله. In the name of Allah, all praises due to Allah. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره. We praise Him, we seek Him, and we ask for His forgiveness. We begin by praising Allah and sending blessings upon His chosen messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Ahlan wa sahlan, welcome to today's show. My name is Tasneem and you're on Medium Wave 1548. The time now is 14:13. So last week we started with the Stranger series, and this is part 2 of the Stranger series. So who are the Ghuraba? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Fatuba lil Ghuraba. So Tuba meaning glad tidings to the strangers. The hadith goes as follows: Islam began as something strange, and it will return as something strange. So glad tidings to the strangers. The people lived in ignorance and darkness and were in a state of kufr and shirk, except for a few from the people of the book. So kufr and oppression had encompassed the whole of the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended good for mankind. Therefore, He sent the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to take mankind away from the worship of people and idols and towards being the slaves to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in order to take them from the darkness of kufr and shirk to the light of al-Islam. So when the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was initially sent, he began to call the people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam at that point was something that was strange, and nobody believed in him apart from one or two men, his wife and a child. So Islam began as something strange. We notice these days that the one who adheres to her religion, for example, maintains the commandments of Allah and follows the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, appears to be somehow abnormal. And I'm just going to say it out straight because that person seems to be a little bit strange. And many people are shocked by her appearance and sometimes her behavior and her ways. Some would actually say that she is not even on the correct path, and they would call her an extremist. This is the sad reality and the sad situation, and can be extremely difficult for the believer. So inshallah, I want all our listeners here to, you know, just to sit back, relax. Let's try and be more hopeful and look towards this hadith for comfort and hope. So think about it. How many people fit the description of the stranger, which were mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in different narrations? And last week we spoke quite in depth about the stranger and the wayfarer and the traveler. How many people have rectified themselves? Think about yourself from last week till this week. How many people have you tried to correct? How many of you have tried to correct yourself, in fact? And how many people today revive the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How many people today spread the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and teach it to others? Sadly and unfortunately, very, very, very few. And why is this? Ask yourself. Let's not look at others. For today's show, I want each one of us to let's take a look within. Let's look at ourselves. So look in the mirror. Do you resemble a Muslim? Look at your actions. Do you act and behave like a Muslim? Why do we shy away from religion? Think about it. You know why? Because we think it to be backwards and old-fashioned. We are ashamed. So never be ashamed to be a Muslim. I came across a newly released powerful spoken word piece entitled Ashamed to be Muslim from the Talk Islam team at One Path Network, and alhamdulillah, they're doing an excellent work with regards to giving dawah. The video is a response to Muslims who go about their daily lives in the constant fear of people finding out their true faith, and those that are always embarrassed by their religion, finding it difficult to be true to their religious views and practices. The piece aims to not only inspire Muslims to once more be proud of their faith and embracing the fact that they are different, because this is what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we will be strange and we will be different, but it also aims to bring hope and light to those that are struggling to hold on to their faith in such difficult times. So the lyrics go as follows. Hi, I'm a Muslim and I'm ashamed of my religion. I try to hide my faith and I'm embarrassed by my tradition. I try to blend in so I don't cause any suspicion. If this sounds familiar, you might want to give this a listen. Dear Muslims of the internet, if I could kindly request that we stop trying to be cool and relevant and start trying to be people of actual benefit. If we could stop trying to fit in and start trying to stand out. I mean, we were never meant to blend in. And I assure you, we were never meant to just go along with the crowd. You see, being different is exactly what being Muslim is about. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fatuba lil ghuraba," glad tidings to those who are strange. But unfortunately, today, when it comes to our faith, most of us are ashamed. We try to hide our identity and even change our names, which is funny, because those on falsehood aren't hiding at all. They're in full public display, walking proudly down the street, even waving flags in parades. And I'm not taking any shots, nor am I here to complain. All I'm saying is, it's about time things start to change. We should be proud to be different and embrace the fact that we're not the same. You see, for instance, we should never be embarrassed to say, "Hey, I'm a Muslim and I follow the religion of Islam. I don't smoke, don't drink, I don't go to clubs and dance, and I actually believe that marriage should only ever be between a woman and a man." And I'm sorry, brother, but I can't really shake your hand. I hope it doesn't offend you. I sure hope you understand. Because I'm just being me. In all honesty, this is just who I really am. And I don't plan on ever giving this up. See, I'm a Muslim, and Allah has told us, "Kuntum ghayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas." We, the people of nations, brought forth for the people. We enjoy the good and we forbid the evil. And we believe in Allah without any partners nor any equals. So why should I be ashamed? We are the kind of people who are kind to people. And we treat others like we like to be treated. I mean, we have Allah as the supporter, the friend, and the protector of all the believers. And we have Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of leaders. So I honestly don't understand why we should ever feel defeated. I mean, why do we always feel the need to leave our faith neglected? Like we need to give up our ways in order to be accepted. So that we need to go rearrange and reform our faith so we can somehow have it corrected. Failing to realize we can never improve something that Allah has already perfected. And look, I get it. Some of us feel disconnected and it does get hard. We might slip and fall and at times we might feel far. And this is normal for sure. I mean, it's why we were taught to make the dua. O turner of hearts, keep our hearts steadfast. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. So don't worry, just be calm. And keep yourself connected to the pious, the righteous, and above all, the houses of Allah. And if you still feel disengaged, or if you just feel out of place, or if you came and you were turned away for your looks or for your past mistakes, it's fine, it's okay, just keep trying, keep praying. And at the end of the day, no matter what happens, never lose your faith. Never be ashamed. SubhanAllah, these were the lyrics of a spoken word poem by the One Path Network and Talk Islam Brothers, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala continue to accept their efforts and take them from strength to strength. So coming back to today's show about the stranger. So think about yourself, like I said at the beginning of the show. Let us introspect, let us look at ourselves in the mirror and say to yourself, do I look like a Muslim? So when did your changing point come in your life? Maybe you were a person that wasn't very religious. And you come from a very liberal family. And you know, many of us do come from liberal homes. But Allah put a feeling in your heart and you decided to change. Maybe you went for Hajj or Umrah. Maybe you attended a talk. Maybe Allah made it happen through the radio or the internet or a friend. You decided to make a change. You start to praise Allah. You start to wear hijab. You stop eating at haram places. When you start changing the behavior in your life, sit back and relax and think about this. So when you start doing all of this, who are the first people to notice it? Your family and your friends. They will notice you're not the same anymore. When I started wearing hijab, some people were shocked. and I'm not talking about non-Muslims, I'm talking about Muslim people. They'll say things like, take that thing off your head. For example, are you going to the wedding looking like this? And you know, many of us that struggle with our hijab, we've all heard this at some point or the other. And some people might even go to the extreme and say, I can't sit with you if you're going to wear that thing on your face. What do you think we are? Some people will say, we're not a Tablighi family. Our family, we don't dress like this. We don't do things like this. They might even mock at your days of Jahiliyyah and say, oh, now all of a sudden you're a big upper, an Islamic role model. But just the other day you were the party animal. This is when you start feeling like a stranger. And this is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about in the hadith when he said, Fatuba lil ghuraba. He said, clear tidings to the stranger. So this sadness, this strange feeling, you're not alone. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam felt it himself. And the believers all feel it. This is when you start feeling like a stranger among your own family. All these comments will really hurt you. Because I think we prepare ourselves for negativity from non-Muslims. But when it comes from your own family, especially your closest family and friends maybe, this can be extremely painful and difficult. You think non-Muslims are averse to Islam. Have you seen what Muslim families are doing to their own? Unfortunately, in today's times, we have to run support groups that help people along with their spirituality, especially things like hijab. And you know, people will say things like, that's not how we do things in our family. That's not how we dress in our family. And this leaves you feeling totally isolated and alienated. So Muslims across the world live in a religiously mixed societies and experience diversity on a whole different level. We see this especially through cyberspace of social networks. You know, alhamdulillah, I was given the ni'mat of visiting Pakistan last year, which is a majority Muslim country. But I saw this especially with the Muslim youth, that, you know, through the media and through cyberspace, even people in majority Muslim countries are being exposed to diversity and people from all kinds of walks of life and all kinds of religious backgrounds. And necessarily this is not a bad thing, but sometimes growing up without identity, it leaves us in a place of identity crisis and we end up feeling like strangers. Furthermore, in this globalized world where boundaries are ever increasingly vacillating, we are now witnessing the highest levels of displacement ever, subhanAllah. So how does all of this shape Muslim identity? Let's talk about identity for a minute. Identity is a complex phenomenon. Constantly changing circumstances make identity formation always a work in progress. Alhamdulillah, in South Africa, we have the freedom of religion. We practice our faith freely. This is a privilege and a ni'mah. And I want all of us just to sit back and take this in for a few seconds. Our sisters across the world don't have these ni'mats. They don't have these privileges. And we should really thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and utilize this privilege that we have been afforded. Because this has not been afforded to many across the world. So let's think about how is identity really constructed. We learn about our identity through interactions with others. And this is very important because, you know, one study while I was doing research, I found that 80% of news coverage about Islam and Muslims is negative. So ask yourself this question, who am I? Because this is what we're facing as an ummah. We're facing an identity crisis. Let me tell you about who I am. So I'm a Muslim, I'm a mother of four amazing souls, I'm a student, I'm an on and off radio host, I'm also a psychological therapist, I'm a qualified educator, and you know, these are some of the things that's it's important for us to acknowledge and to realize that each one of these roles that we play can be a stepping stone closer to our Jannah if we use it in the correct way. And each one of these roles that we play are also ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So acknowledging them actually makes us self-aware to a point that it comes from a place of love and not from a place of fear that we need to be better than the next. So a lot of times when people need to describe themselves, they think of it like, oh, if I say I'm this and that and whatever, then I'm going to sound arrogant. But this comes from a whole different place. Arrogance comes from a place of fear, where I need to say who I am because I need to appear better than the next person. But when you have self-awareness and you're aware of who you are, you're always trying to be better than who you were yesterday or the day before. So it's always trying to improve yourself and get better and better on your spiritual journey, inshallah. So it's very important for us to acknowledge our strengths, acknowledge our achievements, and inshallah, be extremely grateful for them, because inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will only multiply them for you. So we have all struggled with our identity at some point in our lives. And you know what? It's okay. It's okay to be undefined, to be searching and grappling and defining and redefining. It's a process. Like I said, you're always in this process of searching for yourself. And in psychology, we refer to that as self-actualization or existentialism. And we're always searching for the soul. With regards to the Sharia, the point where we reach this contented soul, Quran makes reference of nafsul mutma'inna. And to be in this process of ever-changing, ever-evolving human being, to be on this journey like a stranger and a wayfarer, that's okay. I think, let us start with your name. Think about your name. What is your name? The way we name ourselves is a direct reflection of who we are. Our declarations, our family histories, the morals we adhere to, the values that we hold dear. And these are all so, so important to who we are and what our identity is all about. Inshallah, we're going to continue after the break and we'll be back on the other side of this. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Tasneem, and if you've just joined us, you're on Medium Wave 1548 coming to you live from our Lanesia studios on this bright and sunny Monday afternoon. It's 14:33 now. And before the break, we were just discussing identity, Muslim identity, how we define ourselves by our names and the things that we do and the roles that we play. So when did I discover my identity as a Muslim? I'd like to share a little bit of my story. And growing up in a very modern, open, loving family, alhamdulillah, hijab is never really an issue. Alhamdulillah, spirituality, Islamic consciousness was stressed upon at all times, even though my family outwardly appeared to be very modern. So growing up in this environment led to an intense sense of Islamic identity. So inside, in my heart, I knew that I was a Muslim. I had strong Islamic identity. I knew what I needed to do. But unfortunately, on the outside, I didn't really resemble a Muslim. And this gets me thinking about the Johari window. For those of you that have studied psychology, it's how you perceive yourself. So when you see yourself, what you see, and then how others see you. So this is only really tested way later in my 20s when I took a trip to the UK. So my journey towards hijab is a gradual process. I like to refer to it as baby steps. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said something to the effect that if you take little steps towards Allah, Allah runs towards you. So a trip to the UK in my 20s made me realize that except for my name, I displayed zero Muslim identity, unfortunately. Random Muslims that I met were asking me if I was a Muslim. At first, I was shocked when, you know, literally mortified by this question. But later, I think I started looking at myself in the mirror and it sinked in that obviously I did not resemble a Muslimah. And this realization was extremely harsh for me. So on return from my trip, you know, Ramadan started, and alhamdulillah, for many of us, Ramadan's a good time to start wearing the hijab because everyone is wearing the hijab. And then again, going back to the hadith, we feel less strange because once we fit in, we blend in. Okay, so this was the beginning. I love wearing the scarf, but I was also, you know, as females, we love fashion, we love to coordinate our outfits. So this became a bit of a mission. And to color coordinate your hijab and hijabify Western fashion trends. But I guess it was part of the challenge and, you know, I just went with it. But at the same time, I was attending weekly talims and adult fiqh classes, and this only beautified deen for me. I was thirsty for Islamic knowledge, and it intensified my relationship with my Rabb. And I think the more you know, the better you understand. That is why ilm is so, so important. Alhamdulillah, with ilm comes action. 2 years later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited me to perform Hajj, and you know, during my trip, I made an intention that inshallah, after Hajj, I'm going to wear abaya. And many of us, you know, when we go to perform Hajj or Umrah, we come back feeling spiritually enlightened, and we start to want to change. And the physical thing that we can do is put a scarf on our head. So inshallah, you know, I mean, this is how I started. And my abaya was such, you know, that it became my second skin. I loved wearing my abaya. But I think, like we said, you know, identity and discovering yourself, it's an ever-going on process. It's never a one, you mustn't have focus on your destination. It's a person the person you become along the journey that's so important. And I think the more you taste the sweetness of Iman, the more you want of it. So this didn't stop for me here. And then much later on, I met a very good friend of mine. And through the work that we were doing in community, and she's also an alima, and alhamdulillah, she inspired me to wear the niqab, because I literally used to observe her every move and how she would interact. And, you know, and I was in awe. I was amazed by this young Muslima's spunk and energy and love for Islam and her creator. And she did all of this while wearing the niqab. You know, and she made me realize that the fun doesn't stop. There is life after niqab. And a lot of people think that, you know, once you start wearing hijab, the fun's going to end and you need to become a serious Muslim. And that's the problem with us as a community, because your personality doesn't change. Psychologically, you are still the same person. You still have the same likes, the same dislikes. It's just that now you cover it up. Obviously, you need to be in the obedience of Allah, so you won't necessarily go to the places that you used to go, or you won't necessarily hang out with the people that you used to hang out. But essentially, in your core, you're still that same person. And it was, you know, during one of these classes that I was attending, and we were just talking about the niqab, and I decided to don the niqab. And alhamdulillah, the rest is history. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep us steadfast. But the thing is, I think the whole point of the story is just to show you that we are evolving. We are constantly evolving. And hijab is not a choice, my dear sisters. It is a command. So I think the more we educate ourselves as to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually expects of us, it makes it so much more easier for us to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments. So who is it that is commanding us to cover our precious bodies? We need to understand this. It is our most beloved Rabb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that same Allah that loves you 70 times more than a mother loves her newborn baby. So once we realize this, then the commandment becomes a joy and not a burden. So inshallah, during this holiday time, while we're more relaxed and not carting children off from one point to the next point, challenge yourself to sit down, to ponder, to think, and to reconnect and to fall in love with your Creator all over again, inshallah. So there's only, you know, before the break we were speaking about identity. How do we implement Islamic identity? And I think even from my personal journey, and that is why I shared it, there's only one word. And one word comes to mind, and that is education. This has to become our focus. We have to turn our attention to our resources, our talents, our abilities to educate not only our communities but ourselves. And we can only know this once we know who we are. Like I said before the break, you know, who am I? Ask yourself that question. Identify your resources, your talents, your abilities. Know all of those things about yourself. And then educate yourself with regards to those resources, talents, and abilities, because you will understand how you absorb information, how you take to knowledge, inshallah. This is especially important for our youth, and we need to help not only them build an Islamic identity, but we ourselves need to build an Islamic identity, one that we feel proud of, and one that we can step out there and say, hey, I'm a Muslim, assalamu alaikum, and this is who I am, and be proud to be that Muslim. So how do we get to this point? Like I said, my journey, I was attending Talim, Adult Fiqh classes. It's extremely important to read the Quran. I can't stress more upon read the Quran, Iqra. This is the first words to be revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is to read. Read the Quran, understand the Quran, walk, eat, sleep, talk the Quran. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's character was described as the Quran. Study the tafsir. Unfortunately, we do not speak the Arabic language. So it's very, very important for us to pick up the English Quran and understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually telling us, you know, directly in a commandment, do this, don't do this. This is what Jannah looks like. This is what Jahannam looks like. It's fascinating, let me tell you. Read about the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Classically speaking, there are only two elements of this education in terms of building the Islamic identity that are actually emphasized. I think one would be talim, which is actually understanding and knowing one's religion, and tarbiyah. Tarbiyah, as mothers, we're not only raising individuals, we are raising societies. So upbringing of our children is extremely, extremely important, and we can only do a good job of this if we have the education ourselves, if we are empowered and we know who we are. So ta'alim is extremely important. Grasping the basics of Islam, Quran, Sunnah, the prophetic experience, the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all of this is vital in understanding who you are, what Allah expects of you, how to worship your Allah, inshallah. So as human beings, and I want to speak a little bit about this, because like the poem said, why do we need to fit in? Why do we always need to blend? Why do we need to assimilate? Why can't we just integrate into society? Why do we need to become exactly like the kuffar? Why do we need to emulate and imitate and be like them to be accepted by them? Human beings were made to connect to other humans. It is essential not only to our thriving, but also to our very surviving. So we must belong to thrive and to survive. Without this connection and belonging, humans will look for it because it's a fundamental human need. It's part of our fitrah. We need this, right? So the concept of ummah in our deen is vast. It is not enough to just be a believer. Many of us are believers, but we don't have the spirit of the ummah within us. This is an ummah for all of humanity. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the last and final messenger. So part of the ummah is that we have a feeling of companionship, a sense of belonging. So as we struggle throughout our lives, sometimes we want to belong to the wrong things. Because like I said, it's a basic human need. If you look at psychology and you look at the Maslow hierarchy of needs, I think it's on the second tier when it comes to the basic human need to belong. We have a need to have safety and security, and we have a need to belong, right? But what do we need to belong to? So here, Allah Ta'ala has cut it out for us quite clearly that we are part of an ummah. But unfortunately, we have identity crisis. We don't even know who we are. The fact that you recite La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, that shows that you have nur in your heart. You belong to the ummah. You are part of the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That has already given you identity as a Muslim. So you have a sense of belonging and you belong to this ummah. Last week we discussed how to be a true believer in seclusion. And we spoke about the importance of solitude. And we spoke about how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would retreat to the cave of Hira in order to sit and ponder and contemplate because he felt strange. He couldn't fit in with the society at that time, which was filled with kufr and shirk and all kind of hedonistic behavior, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could just not fit into that society. So he would retreat to the cave and contemplate life and think and ponder and say there's more to life than this, you know. And if you look at, and we even spoke about how Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam found Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in solitude in the fire of Namrud, how Yunus Alayhi Salaam found Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in the belly of the whale in solitude. So the importance of solitude is, I cannot stress more upon that. It's extremely important. But remember, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would come down from the cave of Hira. You are the very best ummah. You enjoin towards that which is good and call away from those things that are rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, I think the Sahaba Ikram and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they had two qualities, and that was a fikr and gham. Fikr meaning worry, and gham meaning sadness. And this is two things that I think we as an ummah we lack today. So it's something that we really need to sit back, contemplate, ponder upon, and think to ourselves that yes, it's good to live alone. It's good to be, you know, in your state of worship, to make your ibadat in solitude. Alhamdulillah, this is all the behaviors and attributes of a believer. But it's also extremely vital to have the spirit of Ummah within us, where if one part of your body is injured, your entire body feels sore. So, for example, what is the atrocities in Burma, what's happening to the Rohingya, and what's happening in Palestine, all of this should affect us on a much deeper level than it actually does. So, inshallah, more about this after the break, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Coming to you live from the studios in Lanesia, you are now on Medium Wave 1548. My name is Tasneem, and we're continuing with the Stranger Series, part 2 of the Stranger Series on Radio Islam. So today as an ummah, we suffer from identity crisis. We don't really appreciate and value our iman. If you really valued it, you would want to share. So for most of us, we didn't actively accept Islam. We were born into families of deen. So thus, hence, we don't appreciate this gift of iman. One particular name of Allah defines our identity, and I want us to all just sit back and think about it, because the name Malik, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful, one of his 99 names. It means king, master, lord. It also means owner, the sovereign lord, the absolute ruler. So according to this name of Allah, we have one name, we are one thing, we are Abd. Allah can be Rahman with us, He can be Wakil, He can be Malik, but we will always be Abd. We only have this one identity. We are Abdul Rahman, we are Abdul Halim, we are Abdul Malik, we always remain Abd. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Rasulullah, but he acknowledged that he was Abd first. We also need to understand this Abd first. Mother second, Abd first, wife second, Abd first, doctor second, Abd first, teacher second, or whatever your profession is. So Abd is always first. The Arabic word Majnoon I came across, and you know, I mean, it made me think about, it's a funny situation, because if you look at the word Majnoon, it actually means to be possessed or a madman. And it was the most commonly used designation in early Islamic society for an individual who would be described as mentally ill in today's times. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was often accused of being a madman for his willingness to speak the truth. So some of you will be going on holiday in the next few days, inshallah. Are you going to sit fully covered at the beach when everyone around you is half naked? And remember, according to the hadith, to be naked, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take one strand out of your hijab. Subhanallah. In the eyes of Allah, it's as good as being naked. So really, you know, contemplate, think about these words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your family might say, don't wear all of that. Because, you know, some people will say, oh, when you wear all of that, you're actually bringing more attention to yourself. And they'll say things like, you Majnoon, they'll call you crazy. Are you crazy? It's so hot. Are you not hot under all of that layers of cloth? Just take it off. There's no one here that you know. And these are some of the words that you're going to hear. And frankly, it's just easier not to wear the hijab. But this life is all about sacrifice. So a wise man once told me, a wise person once told me, and he said that when you think about strangerhood, it's the quality of leaders that they think out of the box. They are willing to be different, go against the norm. Initially, they are strange. When they are successful, that's when the others play catch up. So see, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he claimed prophethood. He was strange, but he was a leader. He believed in his vision. He continued. Those that embraced strangeness, like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was a leader. He believed in the vision of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He then became the first leader of Islam, the greatest human being after the Anbiya. So as Muslims, we are the leaders of humanity. We have been promised with Islam. We have been promised that Islam will dominate. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us. Today we are strange. Later on, inshallah, humanity will be playing catch up. So the strangers feel no alienation in their estrangement, but are rather cheerful. So this strangeness shouldn't make you feel despondent. It shouldn't make you feel sad. It shouldn't make you feel like the odd one out, because you can actually relate to the Anbiya, alayhi salam. Because your ally becomes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His messengers and the believers, even if most people become your enemies and desert you. May Allah make us like the ghuraba we're supposed to be, inshallah. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of today's show, and it was an absolute pleasure to be in your company as always. I look forward to being with you again next Monday, inshallah. Until we meet again, في أمان الله. Safe travels and enjoy the holidays. May Allah always be with you. Until next week, from me, Tasneem, and my engineer, Mikael, from one ghuraba to another ghuraba, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.